The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Hello, everyone. I'm Nikki Glaser. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Thursday here in St. Louis, Mo. How are you doing out there? I hope you are all well and looking forward to the weekend. I know that I am. I'm in town. I'm in St. Louis. I'm doing a show at the Factory on Saturday night, which is a big old venue here in St. Louis. I sold it out. I'm so excited. Thank you to all the besties who are going to show up. And it's so funny because before the shows, Noah, I always go like, I bring up Andrew. And I say, you know, he's the co-host of my podcast, the Nikki Glaser Podcast. And then I get some woos and I go like, who? We got some besties in the crowd. And people yell out like, kuh, and you know, whatever. What else do they yell? They yelled out something else that was really made me laugh. But I never know what to say. I'm just like, hi, like it's because it's awkward because there are people there that like don't listen to the show and I don't want them to feel alienated by my enthusiasm for the besties. But I got to be honest. I'm like, I always go, hey, I've, you know, if you don't listen to the podcast, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I kind of like do a joke where I lash at them. But
the besties are putting in the hours.
Yeah, and I just feel, I mean, I've said this countless times, but I just feel like they're my friends. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different connection than the people who may have seen my roast compilations or know me from Stern or what, you know, those are fans that I value as well. But the besties, I'm like, oh my God, they're just here to like support their friend. They're almost there like my parents are there, you know, like, or, you know, my high school friends where they're like, we know this girl. Like, this is an act. Like, we're going to see her in her dance recital. I almost see, like, they see through it sometimes where I'm like, oh, God, they know the real me. Like, and I know they appreciate the jokes and, like, the craftsmanship. And I have to say, like, my act has become more like the podcast than it ever has before in terms of just the stuff I want to talk about, the kind of topics I cover on stage. I say we, like, it's a – but, I mean, I do feel like it's a we thing. But anyway, I always feel a little bit awkward because I'm so excited about besties being there. And the rest of the crowd is like, wait, what is this thing that we're not a part of? And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to say it. Well, anyone listening to this is a bestie. So, and anyone who's not, get on board and I'll love you just as much as the rest. But they're my favorite fans, I have to say, you know. And then my favorite fans on top of that are ones that bring me Taylor Swift merchandise. But no, not really, but kind of. No, I don't need any gifts. Please don't feel obligated, but you, but just know that like I'll never forget you if you do. Noah, but anyway, St. Louis is going to be so fun because obviously my parents are going. I just have to drive down the road. I'm not flying there. I feel a lot of pressure to have like local references and things, which I will have, but who knows? There's just going to be a lot of people from my life there and a lot of more pressure to be spectacular, but I feel really good. So I am going to be spectacular. So it'll be fine.
And also your best friend from New York, Anya, in your hometown.
That's
true. Isn't that special?
I don't think she's ever been here. That's a good point. Wait, was she at my show? Maybe she was here for the pageant shows. Yeah, she was right before we shut down last January, just January 2020. I did the pageant in St. Louis, which is a big deal for me because I had seen so many acts at the pageant who I loved growing up and everything. But yeah, she'll be here and that'll be really fun. Kirsten is coming into town from Kansas City to be here. And my friend Taylor is also in town, who we went out with the other night. I'm going to dinner with them tomorrow night. I'm so excited to just have like a girl's dinner. And Andrew might show up too. So a girl's dinner. And yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend. I'm just getting ready to, you know, I can't wait to like actually talk about it. I just always am like, when these people go, you can't talk about this thing until we announce it. I'm like, are you going to take it away from me if I talk about it? Like, are you going to... Is it a breach of... Are you going to sue me? Like, what's going to happen? All I've been saying is that I'm having a lot of cameras following me around for the next 8 weeks of my life, 10 hours a day. And they're coming to hang lights today and making my whole apartment a studio. And not cleaning up, dude. I just got off the phone with my therapist, FaceTimed with her, and I go, I am not doing anything different. I'm not going to try to present anything different than what I am. And it's a lesson for myself to be like, accept yourself. Don't try to hide who you are. And she was like, oh my God, a year ago, if I pitched this show over a year ago, she was like, if this would have been happening to you a year ago, I would have been like, don't do this. You are not in the right state of mind to do this. And she was like, but you seem to have gotten to the right place. Cause I was like, I'm not smoking pot. There's nothing I'm hiding, really anything anymore. Which before I was just, not that I was hiding pot, but it was just like not something I would have wanted the public to see. But now I have nothing that I want the public to not see. I was even like putting my like anal douche fucking thing away the other day, cleaning it. And I was like, oh, what if they found this? And I was like, that'd be hilarious. I'd just be like, here's what this is and how you use it. And hopefully this will help someone do it. I don't know. It was just interesting to hear my therapist say, yeah, I think this would have been a bad idea. But that's what I do, is like I put things into motion that I'm going to have to get my shit together for, so that when they finally happen, I go, oh my, like I quit drinking because I got a pilot at MTV for Nikki and Sarah Live. And I realized, oh, I can't make a TV show if I'm hungover every day. So it just made me finally go, well, if I want this to succeed, I got to quit drinking. And it like forced my hand. I watched Dancing with the Stars last night, a little bit of that. I'm finally able to revisit that show after, you know, without a lot of resentments. But that's the, no, I still had resentments. I was angry the whole time I watched it, being like, ugh, that Len guy. The old guy Len. You know the old guy who looks like, you know, he is in a frame at the Haunted Mansion when you go at Disney? He's like the one that's like, old man withers, passed away, and he's the one that like haunts the place. That guy is one of the judges. I hate when old men who like maybe were ballroom dancers in the past, like it's like the Bella Caroli thing when like these old men yell at these little gymnasts like, your foot did not land perfectly on the mat after you did that, you know, double, what, like the thing I could never do even in my wildest imagination because I'm an old man. I'm going to scream at you. It's just like, shut up. Why don't you try to do it, bitch? That's what I wanted to say to that Len guy. God, when he was mean to me, he goes, because, so I got done with my fucking dance when I was on Dancing with the Stars. And I was just like, I can dance, I'm a dancer. Like, I just like exclaimed that because it was like a triumphant moment for me that like I danced on TV equals you're a dancer. I didn't really think I was a dancer. And he was like, no, you are not. That was awkward and blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, you dumb old man. I'm a comedian. Like, why don't you give me a, lower the bar? Like, I would lower it for you if I put you up to any task that wasn't having a nurse wipe your ass. I really am mad at him. And he was just such an asshole to me and so mean. And I know that's his, like, gimmick on the show. Like, he's supposed to be the mean one. But, like, kuh. I wanted to kuh him so hard. Everyone on that show was kind of kuh. But please have me back and I'll like totally be like, Len, thank you so much for my score. I really wish I would have gone harder on him. And I was going to. I had plans on the second night after he said something mean. I was going to say, I had a really good line for him. I forget what it was. But if he said anything negative, I was going to zing him with some. It was a jerk store moment, you know, from Seinfeld where George is eating. If you don't know the Seinfeld reference, I'm going to explain it. But if you do know it, skip ahead 30 seconds. George is at a meeting with a bunch of people and he's just stuffing shrimp in his face from like this shrimp cocktail that's in the middle of the table. And there's a guy across the thing that goes, hey, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp. And everyone laughs and is like, haha. And George feels stupid. And then the meeting ends and George, you see him have this epiphany of like, oh my God. And he goes and he sees Jerry and he's like, I thought of the best line, the best comeback, but it was too late. So I'm going to set it up again so I can do the comeback. And his comeback is, so he goes to this meeting. He flies in these people to have this meeting again. He orders a bunch of shrimp cocktail. He's stuffing his face with it again, you know, over the top, stuffing his face. And then finally this guy goes, hey, George. And George is like, and like stuffing his face. And then he looks up slowly and he's like waiting for the guy to say the line. He goes, the ocean called and, they said they're running out of shrimp. And George just takes out his napkin and settles himself in and finishes chewing and goes, well, the jerk store called and they're running out of you. And then the guy goes, why would they? You're the top seller. And everyone laughs again. And he's like, God damn it. So there's constantly moments in my life where I'm like, oh, jerk store. I thought of the perfect line. So I did that with this Len guy, and I was like, second night, if he's mean to me, I'm going to throw this line in his face. I forget what it was. It was really good. And then he was nice to me. He was nice because I think he sensed, he knew I was getting voted off. And they can't be mean to the person who's getting voted off because it seems like a pile-on. So he was mean the first night to justify that was going to get voted off the second night. But the second night, they all already knew, because it's a fixed show, that I was going to get voted off. And there was no, my mom was like, I knew you were getting voted off when they had the cameras in our face, like, the whole time. They had us front row, you were there, Noah.
Yeah.
It felt, I had no idea, oddly enough, no clue that I was getting voted off first. Anyway, I watched it last night, and Gleb's partner is Sporty Spice. She looks amazing. Yeah. Will you look up how old she is?
You know what? It didn't even matter to me. I was just like, whoa.
I don't know why I need to know that. That's true. But I was just speculating, like, her face looks so good. Whatever work she's had done, me wanty. She dresses
she's
very
47.
Young.
47.
47?
Yeah.
I nailed it. That's what I said. I bet she's a decade older than me, which is wild that when I was jamming out to Spice Girls, it was just a woman that was 10 years older. I mean, that's nothing. But she's a dancer. Get out of here with this shit. Loser season. Let's bring every person that is lost first eliminated, back onto Dancing with the Stars, and let's do it again. And I will have that whole tirade against Len wiped from the internet, even though he'll probably be dead by then, because he's old. Oh, burn. I really got him. You're old, and you might die soon. And that's such a weak joke. Sorry, Len. I hope you live forever. In our memories, because you will die soon. So, Noah, you, speaking of gymnasts, went to go see the touring U.S. gymnastics team that came through. They're, like, traveling around America, not competing, but just, like, performing.
Yeah, the Gold Over America Tour. That's what it's called.
That must be so fun for them to have the pressure off of, like, a slight stumble, that they don't have to do everything. They maybe can get their periods that week, or eat a couple more bites of food. They don't have to have their a tendril of hair might be able to slip out of their tight, you know, top knot, and they won't, like, be deducted points by a bunch of people who have rage because they'll never be as tiny and as talented as these women. Do I have anything against judges? Possibly, yes. So was there a spirit of, well, tell us what it was like. Like, you said I should go see it.
I think you would really enjoy it. I had no idea going in what I should be expecting. It was just the USA Gymnastics Tour. Jordan Chiles, Simone Biles, and then, like,
the
a bunch of other
gymnasts.
Rhyme,
I'm going to be mad.
Sorry. Well, I don't know the rest of their names, because I'm
Wiles.
Just like.
Brett Biles.
Yes. Morgan Hurd was there. I know she's a big deal. So it was just like, it was exactly what you said. Simone Biles comes out and she's like, this is just for us to let loose and have a good time. And it was all about, like, girl power. There was all these, like, cute, sparkly outfits, mostly dancing. And then in the second part, they kind of highlighted each gymnast. And there was a lot of, like, gymnastics and dancing at the same time. It was just so entertaining. I felt like when we went to see the Dancing with the Stars tour.
Yes. At Radio
City.
It was
like all that pageantry was, like, so cool.
It is so fun. And you said that you were really, like, inspired. Even yesterday, you wore, like, a fun, like, kind of bright tank top. And you were inspired because of all the, like, outfits that you had seen the day before. Tell me about that. Like, what did... It does suck that only pop stars and gymnasts get to dress in these fun... Or dancers on Dancing with the Stars get to dress like this. What is it going to change the way you look at your wardrobe?
I think I'm going to have to color my hair pink again.
I mean, it's so fun. It's so, the pink hair, I missed that trend. I just feel like now I'm just, it's like the nose ring thing. My friend Catherine says, when I wanted to get my nose pierced, I go, am I too old to have a nose piercing? She goes, you're not too old to have one, but you're too old to get one. And I was like, that's a good point. So that's why I did the fake one. Maybe I'll do fake pink extensions, because pink is so cute with blonde. I just love the color pink, but I also relate it to, I really love Taylor Swift's era, Lover era, which, like, if Swiftie fans know her going through different eras. And my favorite one was Lover. It was just all pastels and pinks and like kind of inspired this studio look, honestly. I just like purples and pinks and like, you know, the colors of the sunset. And I was running yesterday and I saw the sunset and I go, why isn't everything that? Like, it's like the most beautiful thing ever. Why isn't, and it's the most representative, like, you know, example of like nature at its finest is a beautiful sunset. Like, everything should be those colors to make us happy. I don't know. But I also feel like I have to like move on to my next era. Like, I can't be doing the colors from Taylor's Lover era, but like I just bought a ton of merch from that era because it's all fun, beautiful, tie-dyed, bright colored things. And for my, I'm planning my special and what I'm gonna wear and stuff. And I just, yeah, I want to dress in like a leotard, like almost like a pop star.
Yes.
And I think that's why I wanted to do a dance at the end of my special to justify wearing something that fun. But why do I need to do that? Why can't I just do stand up in a leotard?
I would love that. You have my full support for that.
I mean, maybe it would be distracting, but it would be honestly, you know what? Like, I hate that thing of like, don't dress sexy. It's distracting. Well, sorry that men have ADD or like people, life is distracting. You also have TikTok on your phone in your purse. And how are you not looking at that when I'm on stage? There's women wearing nothing in your phone. Yet you are still listening to me. So if I'm wearing something, who cares if it's distracting? I think there's so many rules with stand-up, and I think they're being broken right now by us going back and watching Norm Macdonald clips, by Bo Burnham's special, by, you know, even a few years ago now at this point, but Nanette, which everyone was so angry about that. What a threat to stand-up that was. You know, just like, you know, she actually was saying exactly what I wanted to do. And I didn't realize I was actually echoing the same sentiments. But like, there's always a punchline to get you out of the awkwardness of a real moment. And I resent that. I just want sometimes to just linger in the moment. And maybe that isn't comedy, but why does everything have to be funny? Yesterday, I did an NPR interview, like the public radio here in St. Louis, with this lovely woman who's so smart and such a good interviewer, Sarah Femsky. And, you know, she talks like this. It's like NPR on air in St. Louis, like St. Louis. And it's just, you know, she had just talked to some Afghan refugee and was talking to someone about a book about discrimination in college campuses. And then she's like, F-Boy Island host Nikki Glaser is here in studio to talk. And we had this whole interview and then we did a piece afterwards for the last 5 minutes. And she was like, I don't know. I was watching F-Boy Island and she doesn't listen to the podcast. She goes, I just got the sense that you could be like the next Oprah. Like, you have a lot more to say and can like empower women. And I was like, that's so weird because I was just saying I want a Brené Brown out. And she was like, oh, I should have used that reference. I'm so old. And I'm like, no, Oprah's obviously a great one, but you can't compare yourself to Oprah. It's like comparing yourself to Beyonce. People are like, excuse me? You think you're going to be Beyonce? I'm like, no, I mean, I'm going to be like Michelle Williams. Prosperity. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew. How'd you sleep?
Who is that impression of?
Our toilet.
Yeah. I just balconied.
Yeah, I know you did. I know you. I know too much about you. It's weird. But I know when you poop. I know when you go in your room to poop. And then I hear through the wall, and that's our toilet.
Just me practicing my stand-up.
How'd you sleep last night?
I slept good last night. Yeah.
Any midnight bounks?
Trying to think. No, not recently. I haven't had too many midnight bounks. I think I'm a little bit... I don't know what it is, but I haven't been pooping in the middle of the night, which is nice. Or I just haven't been getting up to.
Yes. Okay.
I've just been shitting in the bed.
Were those M&Ms in your bed or little tiny that's a candy fun game. Poops
well,
back in college?
What Seth didn't bring up yesterday is that they put sardines under my mattress.
I mean, he didn't bring up a lot. We got off track with Seth. I wanted to just have stories about you. I like that he came in with like a plan, like how he was going to tell things. He had a couple stories he wanted to get out. He's a great guy.
He's the best, dude. I love him so much. How often do you talk to him? A decent amount, especially because he's sober and I'm sober. And
what do you talk about?
Usually sobriety and
sports. You're like, he's sober, I'm sober. So we talk about, you know, shallow things like sports and the weather.
Yeah, we just talk about girls' pussies. You know? No, no. We talk about, like, it's funny with him because he was as silly as, he was a little less silly to me, but we were always competitive about being funny.
Mm.
So now he's 8 years sober. I'm 3 years. And I feel like I'm gonna catch up.
Okay, well, that's the funny thing about sobriety. Like, you can never get more years than, or you hope to never get more years than your fellow sober brothers and sisters. But
hopefully he falls off, and then I'm 3 years ahead, I guess.
That's so funny.
But no, he's just, he's like a different person now. And he wasn't bad before. He was just self-sabotaging in a way.
He, like, just hearing him talk about it. Yeah, he seems to have a good head on his shoulders, a big head.
You know what? He has a little head. It looked bigger.
It looked big on the thing.
Yeah, he has a pinhead. He has a smaller head than me.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, it's weird.
It really looked big.
A lot of gel.
A lot of hair gel. It's the weight alone. You know, the human head weighs 8 pounds, but Seth's weighs 14 with all the depth he
and
puts
2 pounds
it?
Without it, which is weird. Yeah, it was great having him on. I appreciate you having
it is,
him on.
Of course. It's fun to have friends on, and I think that our listeners enjoy that as well, like having people that we really know and who know us, and that just represents the common person that isn't maybe a... I think that's why people like us, is because we don't talk like we're famous, I hope. Or, like, not famous, but like we're in the biz. Maybe I do. I mean, I don't know.
I was watching a Norm McDonald.
Oh, my God. R.I.P. The Norm clips Andrew sent me last night, or the clip, was wild, you guys. What do you have to Google to get that? YouTube red carpet Norm McDonald Jenny Slate.
YouTube.
Yeah. It was the YouTube Comedy Awards, and it was Norm McDonald hosting with two other people. One of them's Jenny Slate. One of them's some idiot. Sorry to you, sir. But I even went into this was 7 years ago, but I went to this guy's Instagram. He was so cringe. And I hate saying it's so cringe, but dude, you sent me the clip being like,
I didn't say Norm was cringe or anything. I just thought he's perfectly mean.
No, can I just say what you said about him?
Yeah.
Because I go, Andrew, what are you doing in your bedroom? Because he was just in there, and I was like, come out. And he was like, oh, I'm watching Norm clips. And I said, what are you learning? What you learning? He said, be a horrible, personable person until you die. I said, horrible? He said, I mean, he was quite mean in the best way. And I said, example? And he sent me this clip. And I go, which part? Because it's a long thing, and you go the whole thing. So then I was like, okay, I'll just watch the whole thing. Norm is so funny. He calls the Lonely Island. He goes, the Lonely Island is coming up next. They're interviewing people as they go on this comedy red carpet. And they're like, the Lonely Island's coming up next. Or as I call them, Andy Samberg and the other two guys.
Yeah, that's mean.
No, it's not. It's honest. It's not mean. It's a joke. This is a comedy show.
Obviously, I know. I'm not a moron. I know that he's being funny, but it's still mean. Those two guys are not happy about this joke.
They should have been happy. It's Norm McDonald.
I'm just saying that it's
the fact
mean
that they
a
got a little
way.
Butt hurt was really like not cool to me when they were just kind of like, all right, good.
Yeah, because it's mean, but it's funny. But I get it. Yeah. I get comedy. I
but
get.
But they
humor.
Should have been like, I don't know, Norm McDonald. Maybe I'm watching this through the lens of like he's dead and a legend, and everyone's just said what a legend he is. And before he died, he wasn't maybe as talked about like with such reverence, but. I was a little bit like, come on, guys.
Of course. Didn't
know that he was making a joke, but they were like not happy.
No.
And it made me awkward that they were not happy. Just laugh along when someone insults you.
Well, except, Andy Samberg was loving it because he was the guy whose name
was. No, I think Andy was kind of trying to be like, oh, like for the guys. I mean, and Andy does get it.
Yeah, like, it seemed like
Andy seems cool. But
is there a comedian that you guys would like feel so happy to be roasted by?
Like if
dead
they
or
made,
alive,
like, you know, like honestly, I avoided Patrice O'Neill before he died because I mean, obviously, I've avoided him after he died too. But before he died, I would never want to run into him because he was someone that could he wouldn't say the Lonely Island and the other two guys. He might say that, but that would be low level Patrice roasting. Patrice could like see your deepest insecurity right away and call it out in such a specific way that you, it would be like, you know, when I've been roasted before and they've said things that I go, oh my God, people, I thought that they were going to make fun of my flat ass and the fact that no one knows who I am and I'm a whore. Not that like I'm deeply insecure and I look like Owen Wilson. Like those kinds of things are like, oh no, I thought I was the only one that thought that. That's what I never wanted. I missed out on meeting Patrice because I actively avoided him because I thought he'd be like, look at you over there, look quiet. Like, you know, you're not as funny as everyone. And that's why you're sitting there quiet, because you somehow tricked your way into, like, he would call me up for my being an imposter that I think I am, which everyone goes, you're not an imposter. You are funny. I think he would be like, no, you're not. You are an imposter. Or so, like, he would confirm my deepest fear.
Yeah, there's a different, there's a certain tact to being roasted and being made fun of. I think for me, I like getting made fun of usually by people that can take it back. Like, or it's like it's in good, like you could tell when someone's roasting where they're just being mean. You like not being, I don't know. I feel like Patrice, when he got made fun of, he loved it too. Even though
on the roast of Charlie Sheen, when Amy went after Patrice and said, this is not only a roast of Charlie Sheen, but it's a funeral for Patrice's foot. She was like, he's like going to die of diabetes. Yeah. And she was like, she said something of like, I have to find it, because she went after him hard. And he got up, he's sitting there mumbling to himself while she's doing the joke. And he goes, this bitch is sitting next to me all night being nice. What the fuck? Like, he's not laughing. He's very confused by it. He's kind of like, wait, she was just nice to me. I feel
like a lot of the jokes that night were about him like dying and dying of diabetes.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do, is call out the obvious.
I know. I just think that he thought is probably like a little.
But that's how he worked, was calling out like the most honest stuff. And the thing is, she was calling, he would, that's what he does.
Yeah.
So he's to me an example of someone who couldn't take it. But oftentimes comedians who are brilliant at calling out other people's things, they see other people's things because they are so self-aware of their own things. And because of that, they don't want to be called out for it. And, you know, that's, I the guy on the red carpet that was doing, so it was Jenny Slate, some fucking guy. And that guy was so fucking cringe. At one point, he has Hannibal Buress on. He goes, Hannibal, when did you know you were funny? And by that, I don't mean like your sense of humor, like the way you look. And it was just like, what? It was so uncomfortable. It just sat there and died. Like, and then Norm Macdonald told a joke about his doctor calling him ugly. Like, it was a self-deprecating joke. And the guy goes, yeah, I could see how he would say that. Yeah, I mean, you're really ugly. Like, it was just so awkward. He's so bad at humor.
That guy was like funny for YouTube pranks, you know, like,
yeah, that's why he got the job.
But and he
was,
didn't oof. Know he's never, I think, probably been around someone that's actually funny. Like, in his world, he's probably he got him, he said he's ugly, and everyone's like, dude, you're fucking great. And that guy was probably told he was great until that day. You know what I mean? Like, that guy was probably like, dude, you're the funniest. Oh, no, there's fucking, he's going to prank us, dude. That's the fun. And then he gets there and he's
whoever
like,
put together that ensemble.
Either is a genius or like didn't really think about it.
It was painful to watch. I mean, in retrospect, it was like, it's glorious because Norm is just so on fire with, all the stars are here tonight.
And he started reading
he starts reading all these YouTube stars that no one's ever heard of. And, yeah, he's just like what I liked about Norman that is that he laughed when people made fun of him.
Yes.
He actually was like enjoying it. He would give people good laughs. He was encouraging. He wasn't one of these comics that like thinks, I mean, no, he had the ability to sit back and never laugh at anything anyone else does because he was he's so much funnier than everyone else. He could sit on his throne and be like, but he was generous with laughter, I thought.
Well, the video I was also watching last night of him, he was talking about, to allude back to, like, hopefully we just talk like regular people, because we are just regular people at the end of the day. Everyone's the same.
We're regular. We're regular.
Yeah, we're all those things. Unleaded. And unleaded. I think he said something about, like, no one wants the guy that's the smartest comic. Like, the guy that's, like, I don't know. It was just interesting. Like, he was saying, like, I go after being, like, playing the smart dumb guy, essentially. But, you know, people love George Carlin because he was so brilliant with his takes. I mean, obviously there's a way to do smart comedy where it's still impressive, but it could come off preachy, I think. And that was what he was saying last night in his video about, because he was brilliant. I mean, he could very smart kind of comedy where it's like, this is.
But I don't think he could because he wasn't like that normally. George Carlin was like that. He was very intense and talked like that. You see him in interviews. He talks like this. It's about consistency. It's about being the person you are off stage, on stage.
Yeah.
And for everyone that talks to Norm, like that knew him personally, he was pretty much the same on and off stage.
Yeah.
And I think that those are the best comedians. And those are the ones that aren't and the Edge.
He's coming in later today, I heard.
Edges?
I don't know. I've heard rumors that he might be stopping
by. Oh, my God. I can't wait for Edge to show up if he is. I mean, I know he's really busy with everything he has going on.
Yeah, I heard he's fucking a lot of pussy downtown, but he might stop by in between.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I have to always stop myself from proselytizing and, like, getting on my soapbox and being like, I know better. But at the same time, I admit I read thirds of books. I admit I don't know certain, like, while I'm saying things, I'll be like, also, I'm dumb. Like, I throw in that constantly because I want to make people aware that even though I'm acting like I know what I'm talking about, I don't necessarily know. The other day, my sister goes, you talk like it's just like that's the way it is and there's no other way. And I go, I know, because I think that it's that way. And so I do think that, but you're entitled to have, that's your problem.
Yeah.
If you disagree with me, disagree with me. I'm not going to see what happens if I disagree with you. And sometimes I'll go, I'm a good arguer for sure. I'm a good debater, but if you are right, debate me and like let's have a discourse.
I wanted to debate you this morning about the 2 week Zoloft thing, and
I looked it up, and I think there's we're both kind of in the middle, but there is a thing.
But
that,
I get what you're saying because how you were saying sometimes
what
you'll
is
say
the
2 week
Zoloft thing?
If you shoot it in your cock, it makes no.
Zoloft takes 2 weeks to like work. And so whatever you're feeling from Zoloft today is the Zoloft you took 2 weeks ago. So if you miss a dose 2 weeks ago, you're not going to feel it today. You're going to feel it in 2 weeks. At least that's what my psychiatrist used to tell me.
Which is interesting because I went and Googled it, obviously, because I was just like, you know, you take Advil. So there's shelf life of drugs in you. So it's like 26.
Half-life.
Yeah, half-life. And shelf half-life.
There's a best
this is
if
why I can't
date.
Debate with you. I can't even say two words without being
well,
a
I just
moron.
Don't want to confuse people.
No, I know. I'm fucking around. But it could be 50%, 26 hours later, it's 50% in you. And then another 26 hours, a half of that is in you.
Okay.
And then it says you can have withdrawal symptoms within 2 to 3 days from not taking your dose because it is actually out of your system. But I see how it could be confusing because it does take 2 weeks to start
working.
Well,
I was told specifically that when you skip a dose, don't worry. It's going to be 2 weeks later that you're going to feel it. Like I was told that by a psychiatrist, like a doctor.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought that.
But there are some drugs that stay in you. Some SSRIs that actually have longer half-lives, I guess, whatever you call it, then Zoloft is actually one of the quickest ones.
No, I think Paxil is.
Oh.
Zoloft is actually one of the longest ones, but we could look that up. I think Zoloft is actually on the extreme side of, like, the longer half-life, but I could be wrong. The thing is, like...
I didn't have it for 3 days, though, and I think I was just tired from the road and
you
whatever.
You have the thing that I looked up. It's
called withdrawal.
It's called
something.
Oh, so
you looked it up, too.
Yeah, because I was like, I don't know that I'm right. And then I got distracted and didn't tell you, but I wasn't going to, like, oh, I'm not right. I'm not going to tell him.
No, I didn't think that.
I looked it up, and I was not fully right, but you're all the symptoms you described is from someone not taking their medicine.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of that, and we did travel a lot.
Oh yeah, you get travel hangovers, and you had that long ass travel day. I mean, like it makes sense. But yeah, you were shutting yourself in your room for a couple days, and I was like, is he depressed? Like,
well, yesterday I was like really fucked up.
What does that mean?
No, I couldn't concentrate on anything, and my brain felt like very hazy, and I don't know. I just in the past I would probably get I'd probably have a panic attack yesterday if I didn't have Zoloft. Maybe
what would have caused it?
You know those times when I just think tiredness, and then wanting to get... So sometimes what happens is I'll get so tired, my body will feel tired, I'll feel bad for being tired, and then I go, well, why can't I think straight? Think straight, Andrew. Try to tell myself, because, I mean, I'll be completely... I get jealous of how, like, yesterday you're, like, out there talking, and you're, like... And, like, you don't get affected by, like, travel. You don't get affected by certain things. And it's, like, I'm, like, well, why am I fucking so tired? And then I think you might judge me for that. And then I judge myself for that. And then I'm, like, well, just then be better. Be aware. And so then that's when the panic would set in of being, like, get back on track. Get back.
So it's, like, the guilt over the anxiety over the judgment, both from externally and inside yourself of, like, you can't just let yourself be sad or
not be lazy or be low.
I was really depressed on Monday night. I traveled all day and then I got back and I was trying to fill the void of like feeling restless and feeling like lonely and just feeling all these things. Mm-hmm. I filled it with like masturbation and then filled it with trying to watch TV and then that didn't work. And I was just like, I need to take a melatonin and get out of this. Yes. And I also, I texted a bunch of friends being like, I'm really depressed right now, but it's because of A, B, and C. Like this isn't me being a bad person or mm-hmm. like weak. It's like, there's reasons for it and it'll be different tomorrow.
That's the last sentence is where I can get to now, where I couldn't get to before is a day from now or 2 days from now, you're gonna be fine. Just wait and be patient.
I also have a trouble enjoying the fine times sometimes, though, because I'm like, it's going to get bad again. Like, nothing's ever going to last. Like, don't get too excited. Because I think that
roller coaster.
I think that is part of the depression is when you get so excited about, I'm never going to be fat again. I'm always going to be in shape. I'm always going to have a zest for life. Everything's always going to be great. When you are again, the disappointment is so big. So even when I'm having a great time where I feel like I'm so attractive, my waist is so tiny and I'm tan and my skin is clear. Don't get fucking wrapped up in that stuff. Don't feel like that's your identity and a reason mm-hmm. to be happy because it will go away. All of it will. And that's I just want a balance of like accepting when I'm good, accepting when I'm bad and not having it mean who I am. And let's get to the news.
So true. So true.
So true.
So true.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
The weekend is here, boy. I hope you're having all the swells out there, and I hope you checked out our video on YouTube. This is my New Orleans accent down there in the French Quarter.
Oh, down there.
Oh, you like that down there? You ever had the crawfish down there on Bourbon Street?
This is the accent that comes out when we go to the baseball game and a foul ball gets hit, and you go, oh, come on down, down now.
Every foul ball could end up in my lap.
He can't say it's so funny. It's the thing that maybe you do that makes me laugh harder than anything is it doesn't even seem like he's meditated. Like it's not premeditated to scream. No, come down now. It just is it's a reflex that a ball shoots up.
There's nothing funnier.
And he just goes, oh no, come down now.
Come on down now, foul ball down now. I love it so much because
it's like a sneeze. Like you can't help it.
Because when it's like, especially when it's like 200 feet away, just looking to my left and right of people going, this guy thinks a foul ball is gonna.
But yet you get embarrassed of me when I picked up Luigi's shit on the street with some leaves. Like, yeah, what? Why are you not embarrassed of that, guy?
That's the beautiful of
sports. I get
sports.
To walk away from the people. You have to sit there and sit with them.
That's the beautiful of sports, though. You could yell anything. You could yell cheddar cheese. Come on down there on the mild cheddar of the Havarti, and everyone go what? Yeah, okay.
Havarti sounds like a pitcher's name.
It is. He plays for the Cardinals.
He lives in our building. Yeah, there's one guy on the Cardinals team who lives in our building, and I always see him on a Lime scooter. So when we went to the Cardinals game, my sister and I were, when he went up to bat, we were like, ride that Lime! Yo, ride that Lime! People were just like, what? But they didn't care, because you can shout anything. That is the beauty.
I need a person like that in my life, man.
Yeah, ride that Lime to get that venti latte, because he's always riding his
Don't
Lime.
Don't be depressed. Don't worry. You'll be all right tomorrow down there. You'll be okay, boy.
Okay, news.
All right. Lovebirds getting in on a car, getting... It
Wait, is this
on.
About love, actual lovebirds, or is this about two people who
two
are
people,
in love?
Two people that
so
are
maybe say
dressed
that
up
way.
In birds.
Okay.
Two people dressed as lovebirds getting it on in a car, had to be rescued by cops after releasing the Toyota Yaris hard handbrake, rolling down a hill, and the car rolling on its side. The police report says the couple were strengthening their relationship. So this couple be fucking in a Yaris.
I was picturing her, like, putting the e-brake inside of her and strengthening her pussy. I've always, there is something sexual about that e-brake that sometimes I do just want to sit on it.
Because, dude, when it's hard to push down.
When you go, there's something about, like, I think I will do that in my life. I want a relationship where a guy gets in the car and I'm like, just like, oh, I'm looking for something and I have, like, my skirt over it so they don't know. And I'm like, I might just have the e-brake inside me. And they'll go, what the fuck is wrong? I love doing weird sex things and having guys go, what is wrong with you? And I'm just like, isn't this hilarious? This is in me. And then it's like, then we fly down the hill. There is something about the
handbrake, though. It's like a strong construction man with tufted hands. Like, that's how it feels like when you pull it up.
I don't mean the ones that are like, you know.
Like the old school ones, right?
Where it's a manual, like, car where you're having to, like, I mean the e-brake. Yeah, almost like skinnier than a dick. Yeah.
But it makes that sound. It goes of that right, clicking
and it
sound.
Gives you, like, that really, like, you got to pull it those last cup, that last inch is doing, yeah.
It's literally something. Like you're stopping the car from going down the hill with just your hand. Man, some girls can't
can
do it.
I get really aroused by the way a man drives. I didn't know that about myself, but I can be really unattracted to someone by how they drive and then really horned up. I think it's about feeling safe. And feeling like they take chances and they're just like badass. And like, I want to feel safe, but also be like a little bit like, oh my God, he's like kind of going fast. Like, that's my like zone of arousal is like feeling like I'm protected and he's worried about me and like he's buckled up and like,
yeah.
He's not going to put me in harm's way, but we're going to like, he's going to get me there.
Do you
fast.
Like a guy driving it like a like an old stick shift? Like, does that turn you on?
I don't care what you drive. I just like the vibe of like your vibe on the road.
But isn't that there's a thin line between that and being right? Like driving too fast and too erratic.
No, I don't want him to do it for show. I want him to do it so we get there fast. And like, he's just like, God, these people don't like, it's kind of like me. Like, yeah. I drive in a way that's like, everyone around me is probably thinks I'm a crazy driver, but what I'm doing is like I know where I'm going and I'm more spatially aware, and people are just kind of like and I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna cut in front of you because you're slow and I know you're not gonna speed up erratically because I've been seeing you for a half mile now driving 30 miles an hour in a 40. So I'm just gonna go in front of you even though I know there's like two car lengths for me to weave in front of before I hit the car in front of me. It seems crazy, but I know there's no way this guy is going to all of a sudden speed up and block me.
If that yes, makes any sense. But that does happen. I mean, you yeah, have been in wrecks.
No, I have. I've been in one wreck when I was 16. I hit a garbage man, but since then I've never been in one.
That could be a line from Clueless. That's such a funny line.
But when you're 16, you get a pass. When you first get your license, you get one wreck.
Oh my God, when I was 16, I got in a wreck my first month.
Yeah,
in my car.
Every like any parents out there, do not let your children just get a license and just go willy-nilly.
It's
they
so
don't know
funny
what they're doing.
When you're 16 and you like pull my in, sister got in one, I would I pull don't... into like another lane and like completely like run a guy off the road, and then he'd get up in me and go, "What the fuck, man? Fuck you!" And I'd be like, "Hey, sorry about that. Sorry."
When people run like get in my lane and yeah. they don't see me, I don't go, "Ah, what's wrong with you?" I'm just like, they didn't see me.
Yeah,
like it's, I know. It's okay. Just slow down and go, oh. Like, you protect them from themselves. Like, don't... I hate people that see someone making an error and then they speed up so that the error's even worse.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to just seeing someone making an error and giving them room to make the error. Like, it's okay. Like, you've done that too. Wouldn't you want someone to give you space as opposed to, like, actually, I'm going to speed up to show them that that was so dangerous. Like, now you're making it a thing when really... They're not going to learn from that. Just give them space and make the road a safer place.
And my brother's like, we're in Florida. Like, that guy could have a gun. And I'm like, oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
the thing. It's like, if I used to like yell, please like, yeah, beg yeah. men out there, stop. If I accidentally don't see you in my blind spot and I start to veer over, honk gently, but then don't speed up so that it's more dangerous. And if you can, brake enough so that this dumb idiot that didn't check all of her rearview mirrors enough can just ease into the road, because you know you can do that.
But if you're trying, but this goes back to your first thing.
Where if they're
like,
about to hit
if
you,
I
yes,
see
honk.
Something, I squeeze in and I know they're not. But then that behavior probably leads to you eventually cutting someone off. That's why I don't
do it. No, it's not. I don't cut people off. I just get in front of them in a way that they might be like, wow, that's going faster than me and got in front of me. I'm not going cutting them off so that they have to brake. Yeah. They can keep going. I do everything so that everything can stay the way it was. There's no me making someone have to go, what? But oftentimes they do that because they're crazy and they're too anxious. And that's not my fault. But I do, you know. Anyway, sex in a car is so hot.
Oh, yeah,
those
shit.
People, like the Yaris. I love a guy that drives a Yaris is getting laid. Yeah. I love that the cops reported it as them strengthening their relationship and gave him kind of a pass on that. I think.
Have you ever fucked in a car? A Yaris is a small car to fuck in. Have you ever fucked in a car?
Yeah, like at the back of a Land Cruiser where the seats are down.
Oh, that's like a full on.
Yeah, that's like a studio
two
apartment.
Bedroom.
Yeah. It's pretty.
How good. Did it work out?
It was just like me and my ex boyfriend were both living with our parents at the time. It was like over like a. No, actually, we were both living with our parents, and so we didn't have a place to go, and we were both broke, so we couldn't get a hotel room, and so I would just...
Oh, that's so hot. What music was playing? Was the AC on? Was the windows... When I would hook up in a car, you fog it out.
No, I would not. I would turn off the car.
You turn like, the car? You don't want to waste.
My dad has taught me to not
nothing
waste.
Nothing hotter than a girl being like, we got to turn the car off and fucking 140
degrees.
That's
the number
degrees.
One waste of energy is when you have a car that's just turned on and just running as it's parked.
You should have the AC. I mean, you're sitting there.
It was in the winter, so it would be like, it would get cold, and then we would heat it up with our body heat, and it was kind of fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, though. Like, those positions, it's not as sex, like... In movies,
it's like,
oh, my first time, I'm going to be in the back seat.
Yeah.
And now, you know, there's always that scene. I mean, what kind of guy?
I just want to get fingered while the guy drives and I'm in the passenger seat.
Yeah, that's hot.
One time, my ex-boyfriend and I, we were driving across the country, and he hooked up, he had a, he brought in one of those boxes that has plugs in it so that we could plug in the wand, which was the third party of our relationship. And I had the wand. We were driving across the country. We were doing like a road trip that girl just got murdered on kind of thing. It was the same kind of road trip of like all the national parks, driving to LA from New York. And I would just be like getting it in the front seat and he would just be driving. And like, it was that was so hot. I love that. I just love being, And then
did
like,
you ever think you got caught though? Sometimes I used to jerk off when I drive. And I feel like...
No, I never... Oh, no, I would put up like a t-shirt in the window. I didn't want anyone to see it. I don't like people seeing me having sex. I'm not like one of those... Unless people want to watch, that's different. But subjecting the public to that is
no,
kind of
it's
gross.
Not good. It's you end up having to like...
Roadhead?
I've gotten roadhead. I don't love it because...
I have to remember a joke that I used to do about that.
What good. About it?
I used to have a joke that... I don't want to do it because I think I might put it in my special. It's really good. But I used to do it all the time. I liked it.
Giving roadhead?
Yeah. Because first of all, that's why I think I have like I'm always turned on by someone when they're driving, and I kind of want to like I like when a guy has to like do something like focus and like is trying not to come kind of thing.
I like doing it when like when a girl's trying to perform surgery and I go down on her. You know, like something like heart transplant. Yeah, something real serious.
Oh my god, that's got to be a porn genre where it's like, can you save my dad's life? This family is just begging. Like, this surgery is very intricate, and if she's not totally focused, then the guy's going down on her. That would be so hot.
So
I know
hot.
That there's a lot of porn where the girl's talking to her friends, and a guy's going down, and she's just like, oh, yeah, like that's kind of
hot.
Or
like, I like Biden giving a presidential address and.
You I know, think we had a president that actually was giving...
Bill Clinton definitely got a blowjob while...
State of the Unions.
Talking about domestic terrorism or whatever.
Okay, next story.
Let's see here. Oh, another Yaris. No, that'd be weird. Apple is working on an algorithm that looks at users' health information, such as physical activity levels, sleep patterns, and mobility, in an effort...
How could they not already be doing
this? ...to create software that could diagnose depression. So they're going to make, like, an app.
So the app should be called Duh.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to look at my heart stats. Just, am I an American who has Instagram? Diagnosis, depressed. Everyone is depressed. Can I just say that? Stop acting like you're too good for depression. Who do you know that's not depressed? If you do know someone, it's someone who doesn't have a smartphone.
Or they're liars.
It's just like everyone's kind of depressed.
It's so funny.
It's not. It's okay to admit it, but that is hilarious. It's so funny,
like a computer being like, "Oh, based off this and this," like it's like shut the fuck up. Like all like.
No, it's like, do you follow Emrata and Alexis Ren? Yeah, you have severe depression.
Do you follow Dan Blazarian?
Yeah, you're probably suicidal, and we should just admit you to a hospital right now. Like,
and then you're like, thanks, Apple. Like, I would have never known.
And, like, Apple gives a fuck about our mental health.
No, they want to know because you'll buy more when you're depressed, and then they'll give you more ads during that time because now they know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, now it's all... And they probably are in with pharmaceutical companies to, like, okay, well, then... The other day, I cannot believe this app that was marketed to me on my stories. I'm watching Instagram stories, flips to one, and it was, like... Do you not understand your emotions? Are your emotions blocked? Do you have trouble crying? I was like, this motherfucker, how did it know my specific thing that I don't cry, that I have blocked
Are you emotions? In your bathroom right now? Are you looking in the mirror? Are you telling yourself
so
you're not
specific. I go, yeah. How did someone make an app or program that is this catered to my needs? It felt like a bot made it, you know, like a bot made an app that's going to reroute me to an app. It's what I don't trust anything anymore. I can't.
Uh-oh, conspiracy Nikki's coming out.
I can't. I'm just like, how did that? It really felt, it didn't feel good. But
you didn't feel seen?
Sometimes with you know, Poshmark or like some of the shopping sites I'm going to, they'll really nail my needs where I go, this person knows me better than anyone. But no, I felt seen for sure. I mean, that is interesting that our phones know us better than our partners. Like, our phones will suggest presents for us to get ourselves that your husband would never buy you.
Yeah, your wife will get you socks, and it's like, motherfucker, I wanted a new PlayStation.
I didn't want a Pandora, like, jewelry, like, shitty charm bracelet.
I wanted an engagement
with
ring.
With a martini glass on, or like a.
I wanted a divorce.
Yeah, my app somehow knew that.
Thanks, Apple.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with our weekly sports.
Oh, man, she is thrilled.
All right, we're back. Okay, let's do it. Weekly sports. Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Gonna kill me one day. Okay, a bettor turned a promotional $25 bet into $133.
You said bettor, and I was confused.
Eddie Bettor.
A bettor? No one calls them bettors.
A bettor?
Okay, I wish you were a better man. I wish you,
Waiting, watching the clock. It's 4 o'clock. It's got to stop. Tell her.
Okay.
Take that. A bettor.
No, it's a bettor, but it's just not the best way to say it.
What do you say?
Someone who, a guy who places bets.
Yeah, I don't write.
You can rewrite them in your brain.
No.
To present them so that.
I don't want to make Noah upset.
If I was reading that, I would say, oh, a bettor, and I could read it. Like, but if I'm hearing it, you got to sometimes change things.
A man who bets, or a person who bets, turned a promotional, a one who promotes, a $25, which is $25 bet into $133,000 via a 16 NFL parlay and hit 15 consecutive picks.
Okay, well, you're going to have to tell me what a parlay is.
A parlay is when you...
Parlez-vous football?
Yeah, parlez-vous football. So you bet, you have to, each game has to win. Like, each game you have to hit. So let's say you bet the 49ers, they got to win. And then connected to that, the Dolphins also have to win. That's a two-game parlay. If and then you bet.
I'm not going to get it. It doesn't matter. Okay, so this guy bet $25 and just.
He won 15 out of 15 picks. He picked correctly. Whoa. And then it was up to the 16th. He would have made $750,000 off a $25 free promotional bet, by the way.
Wait, so he didn't spend $25 or he did?
He did, but he got that free from the casino, which is just a whole nother
thing. Now, I wonder
thing.
How much this guy has spent in his lifetime betting. Like, that's what I always go, is this really a guy that just wandered in and was there with some friends, doesn't usually bet? That's a great story.
Look,
this guy is going to now turn this $133,000 into a bunch of losses.
His family hasn't eaten for 3 months because he did a 48-game parlay, which he just felt good
betting
about.
Betting on sports, I mean, how does not everyone do it that it cares about sports? I mean, I feel like it would make you care so much more.
I mean, there's a billion-dollar industry. Because I did this one day. I go, you know what I'll do? I'll figure it out. I'll just do a lot of small bets, but a lot of games. And I bet 50 games at like $50 a game, and I lost 48 of them. So I had a 48-negative parlay or whatever. I don't know. I didn't connect them all, but I just lost. And I lost $2,500 and just going and take, you got to go get cash. Because that was before Venmo. And when you feel cash being turned over, I was just like, I'm done.
Gambling I'm sites done. And things must have benefited so much from digital because you just don't feel like you're spending actual money. And chips, you know, like chips don't feel like money. That's why they use chips, I feel like. And also, did you know that the carpet on a casino floor is so erratic so that if you drop a chip, you will not see it and they can have it as a gain.
Yeah, and their weather.
That's why the carpet looks insane. It's not because they're fun.
And I think it's also a mental thing of keeping you more awake, like more things happening in like your eye. And that's why it's so cold in there as well, because it keeps you awake so then you could bet longer. Because the longer you bet, the more chance you have to lose.
I'm so grateful that, and you should be too as well, that you had that loss and it felt so bad that you go, I don't want to do that again. Like that's the way some people feel after they drink and they have a hangover. They're like, that was stupid and not worth it. I'm not going to do that again. Whereas I was like, that was worth the good feeling that I had on top of that.
Oh my God.
You know, Norm MacDonald gambled away his life's fortune 3 times, I heard.
Yeah, he was talking about how he would gamble, and I get this too. So when you're like addicted to being a spendthrift and you're spending your money, and you make like $200,000, right? And you spend, let's say you spend 150 of it, then you have 50,000 left. You don't see it as like, I gotta hold on. You're like, I might as well just get rid of this too. Like there's a weird mental thing, and that's what he was talking about on WTF, where he lost like a few hundred grand, and Mark is like, how did you keep playing? He's like, well, I already lost that. I might as well.
So, yeah,
it's a weird like mental thing.
I heard this thing from my brother-in-law who now has a retail shop. He was like doing some research about just like pricing and what people do. And he told us that, you know, if there was some ski shop story of a guy that had a ski shop and there was a coat that was like $20,000, you know, is some kind of special coat. The person brings it up to the counter, is like, I want this coat. And they go, actually, the hood is not the hood. I have to unzip this. The liner actually is an extra 10 that doesn't come with the coat. And the person goes, and they just go, okay, yeah, throw it in. They do that because they know they put the liner in the coat knowing it's going to be an add-on. Because if you're willing to part with $20,000 for a coat, you're willing to part with $30,000 for the whole coat. So it's like, it's psychologically.
Well, the initial thing was the French fry is like the number one add-on thing, and that changed everything. So like when you buy a cheeseburger meal, like, and you're like, oh, well, why don't we add some fries with that? And you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, like they don't even think about it. And they're like, well, here's another dollar. It's like, I already bought
it. That's why movie places make a small soda $2, a medium soda $5, and a large $6. Because why wouldn't you spend an extra dollar to get the large when really the markup is from the small to the large? You're not even looking at the small because you want a lot. You're looking at the medium and you go, well, what a deal that is based on the large. It's all...
Fast forward to that guy having diabetes and getting his feet cut off and losing $2 million in medical bills. He's like, but I saved that.
Amy Schumer offending him at the roast.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to our weekly segment where we go through listeners' mail. It's time for Fanthrax. Oh, Fanthrax, it's time. All right, let's listen. Do we have voice memos? Do we have emails? What are we going through this week, Noah?
All right, today we're going to get some voicemails because we've just been having unbelievable Fanthrax. I just want to thank everyone, and sorry if we're not getting it on the show, but
we feel great from them. And Noah goes through all of those. And you go through some of them too, Andrew? Do you ever go through the voice ones?
I used to. I did. I checked them out. Just to, there's so many where now
really?
it's like insane. And I think, yeah, it might even be down because there's so many. I don't know.
No, it's not down. It's working okay. just fine. This Sorry. One came in 17 hours ago from Christine.
Okay.
Ready?
Wow. Yes.
Hello, Nikki, Noah, and Andrew. I hope you're having all the swells. I'm calling in with a dating app success story because you guys were talking about the apps not too long ago in one of your episodes. And I have a little tip for the besties, and that is to let someone know you're a bestie. I met someone recently. We had a phone date before our actual date, and we were talking about different comedians we like. I said, I'm a Nikki Glaser stan. I listen to all her episodes of her podcast. He's like, no way, me too. And right off the bat, so not awkward at all. We were talking about all the funny things we like about you guys. And after a few glasses of wine, I decided to be super vulnerable, as Nikki does recommend. And I told him that the thing I relate to most about you, Nikki, is when you talk about being a stained person. I used to be addicted to spray tans. Many of my clothes are orange. I keep a bottle of hot sauce by my bed. Not sure why. It makes me feel safe. Anyways, just wanted to let the other besties know that it's a great conversation starter, and it's a quick way to see if they can hang. So anyways, don't be cut, and thanks so much for your podcast. Everyone loves you. You're the tits. Bye.
Oh
I can't
God.
Take it. This is why I can't. I can't handle, like, oh my God. I'm just like so, I'm so touched. I can't even, I'm kind of speechless because that's just, first of all, you just sound so cool, and I'm like, want to be friends with you. And like, just someone that sounds that cool that likes me is just like, and just is so funny and cute and just kind. It just is very, very, makes me feel so good. And the fact that people can connect over the stuff we talk about, and that you could share that with someone that you felt stained, and you knew that he would know what it kind of meant because I had described it, and that, you know, obviously he likes someone that me being me who is stained, describes herself as stained, so that it makes her feel more comfortable. Like, oh, he's not going to reject me. Nikki thinks she's stained and he listens to her stuff. And it's just been a while since I have felt so good in my heart.
I just love her little hot sauce by the bed. Yeah, like I always have things by the bed. I have popcorn ready to go. I was listening to her voice, and you remember that actress from like Mallrats? She was like really big back in the. She had like short blonde hair. She was so cute. She was in like all those.
Oh yeah, Jennifer Tilly.
Is that her name?
Yeah, she talks like this, and she was in Liar Liar.
Yeah,
and she.
I kept picturing this girl.
Yeah, she kind of had like a little her. Bit. Oh, yeah. Oh my God, that girl was so sweet. I hope it works out with you and that guy. And
I do too.
And even if you just are just friends, like I think that's. I feel the same way about the shows I listen to when I meet someone who likes Howard Stern. I'm like, yes, we already have something in common. We speak a similar language. God, that made me feel great. Holy shit. I can't. This segment's uncomfortable for me because it's a lot of compliments. And but I'm really grateful. Thank you so much. Her name is Christine?
Yeah.
Christine, thank you so much.
Okay. How about one from Allison?
I hope you guys fuck in a Yaris soon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Okay, Allison, what do you got to say?
Hey, Nikki, Andrew, Noah. I was listening to today's episode, and I just had to come leave a voice message when Nikki said that she didn't pick up a paycheck from a job and they were emailing her. I did a similar thing years ago, and I've always thought that was just like the weirdest behavior. I bartended at this place for only like a month and then quit because I got a job actually in my field, and they had like cash there for me, and they were emailing me like, you need to come get this cash. And like, it was like months later. I don't know why I was like so embarrassed to go pick it up. I like can't explain it.
Yeah.
And like eventually they were like, okay, if you don't pick it up by next week, we're gonna like buy the staff pizza. And then I went and got it and just felt so weird. Like,
good thing you got
I'm
it.
Like just so happy to hear someone else say that they did that. Like, dude, this pod really like makes me feel like normal about a lot of like random yes. things, and I love it so much. Oh, you guys God. Are the best. Okay, bye.
Thank you so much, Allison. Like, dude, I used to be so ashamed of that thing of not picking up that check, and I remember my parents being like, "What is wrong with you?" And I'm like, I mean, I still do stuff like that where, I mean, even reading people, when people give me letters
yeah.
on the road that are just all I know, no one's going to give me a letter to say they hate me. I mean, maybe, but like generally these, I meet these people and they're like giving me gifts and then there's a letter with the gift and I can't read it even though it's literally is the, it's like money. Yeah. It's just only nice things and I just feel, why can't I do good things for myself? Why do I...
Well, it's also the embarrassment of going back to a job that you only were at for a month, I think, for her, probably. You
and
know what I mean?
And just waiting like, so long the first time that
yes.
people are like, why? Then they've had to call you three Ugh. Times, and now you're going to
have to... Now you're going to have to seem in person.
You're going to have to address why you didn't pick up the phone for three times. But listen, everyone does this shit. It made me feel so yes. good to hear Allison say that she did it. But I've learned that everyone does this where it's like, other people, some people just, not everyone does it. Some people truly don't understand how you could ever not go pick up a check. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of people that really relate to not yeah. doing something that.
Well,
like,
it could also be like not deserving, not feeling like you deserve that money because you quit. You know what I mean? Like, or like I'll have a check for this show downstairs in the mailbox and I won't go get it because part of me, I think, probably feels like I
do
don't
that
deserve
too.
It.
I won't deposit
like, what?
Checks.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
I
also threaten me with someone's gonna have a pizza party. Fuck that. Like, I love I know. That was the last draw. She's like, fuck
I
that.
I thought she was gonna go, yeah, let him have it. I yeah, would have been like, oh, good, yeah. it's going to a good cause. I'm proud of her for going
yeah,
to get
I
it.
I do too. I love it. I love that she did that.
But I do that all the time of yeah. like just avoiding things I want. I was just thought of an example that was so. Like recent. Oh, I mean, we've all felt this way when let's say someone texts us.
Yeah.
And then we don't get back to it right away. And we go, we'll get to it tomorrow. Then we don't get to it tomorrow. Yeah, then it's a week later and
they
follow
they write
up
a
again.
Follow, oh.
And you go, you know what? I can get back to this. There's an excuse for why I didn't get back. Oh, shit. But then you wait on that one. Then they follow up a third time. Oh. And at that point, you just go, I'm just going to not know this person anymore. I'm just never going to. I'm just going to like.
I've done that so many
and
times.
I should just end this friendship. When really. Let's just start being okay with not getting back to people because you if someone did that to you, you would understand how, it wouldn't be because I've done it to people that I love.
I know, but get back to them. I don't
like,
be
don't,
okay with getting back.
Be okay with getting back late and going, yes. listen, I am such, listen, I don't know why I couldn't do it, but I have some sort of weird thing
yes.
where you know, missed three of your calls. I just got scared of even writing you ever. I've done this
because
so
you're
many
afraid
times
of,
in my life.
Because you play how they're going to react to when you finally write back. Like, oh, I guess you do finally write back.
And you know what? Sometimes they do.
Which is fine, too.
Fine. You know, but.
My dad did. He goes, how was the weekend 2 days ago?
Yeah.
And then yesterday he wrote, Ferris Bueller. Anyone? Bueller?
Bueller.
And then I was like, fuck, I can't write back. And then I just wrote back. He goes, okay, cool. Get some rest. Like, it was, like, such, like, I don't know. It's, like, whatever.
Just, if people don't forgive you, they're in the wrong. You would forgive someone if they ghosted you for 3 weeks when you're following up. It's just, and don't take it personally if someone does that to you, because realize that you've done it to them, and it doesn't mean you don't like that person.
Not
it's
at
just,
all.
Like, bad timing. Okay, let's get to the next one. Oh,
but in
God.
This case, I hate my father, so.
Oh, yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's different. But
no, I'm just kidding, Dad. I love you.
He's
I
awesome.
Can't wait to play golf with you in a few weeks. I miss you.
Okay, this one's from Taylor.
Taylor.
Tay-Tay.
Hey, guys. I'm a huge fan of the podcast.
Is this Taylor
I
Swift? I want
to share a mispronunciation story.
No.
I was substitute teaching for fourth grade, and I was supposed to read this passage to the students, and it was about crocheting. And so that's correctly
crotchet.
How you pronounce it, crocheting. I pronounce it as crotcheting, and I said it probably 15 times. It wasn't just like once. This essay thing was all about crocheting. And
crotchety.
Literally one of the students had to correct me. It was really embarrassing, but also hopefully that rose smile on your face. Okay, bye.
Oh, crotcheting. Oh my God. That kid that corrected you really got a bump to his self-esteem that day, and he'll never forget that. He'll always tell the story of the teacher that said, I hope he always tells it, because that's a great story that my teacher repeatedly said crotcheting.
Yeah.
And that's an easy
that's
one.
That's a fun one, though. That's a fun word to mess up, especially if you're in third grade and you hear
crotch.
That. Yeah.
Even though I don't know that fourth graders know crotch.
That's true.
Maybe. That's kind of a more adult term. But any mispronunciation is so hilarious. Final thought.
When anytime a teacher messes up, it's the funniest thing ever.
God, I'll never forget the time at an assembly where we had a speaker come, a woman come to give us like a motivational talk to the senior class.
Yeah.
And fucking Ryan Blanner yelled out slut at one point because she said she had a male roommate.
I mean, that's...
He just goes, I mean, we were out of control. No one respected this woman. I wasn't. I was mortified for her.
Because she came from...
Because she was just like... Because it was senioritis. They didn't know what to do with seniors anymore. We didn't care about school. It was like a free period that we all like had because the teachers had a planning thing. They threw us into the theater to go watch this woman give this weird kind of like dumb motivational
talk.
So
what happened when he yelled slut?
The woman stopped and was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And just walked off stage. And it was, and I remember him doing that and being like, you asshole. Like that is just so out of line. But everyone laughed, you know, and I just remember being really embarrassed for, but our senior class principal, who wasn't the real principal, but each class had a principal, Mr. Pittman walked up onto the stage and he was like you could tell he was mad, and he just stood there and it's silent in the auditorium and he's just shaking his head, and the woman's gone at this point. He's like, is she gone? And everyone's like, yeah, she's gone. It's so dead quiet. And he's like, Miss Nixon, will you go get me a dictionary, please? And so we're all just like, kind of like, what? All right. And so she goes to get a dictionary. It's still quiet. We're all kind of like, snickers are starting to happen. You know, people are starting to be like a little bit, it takes too long. She goes and gets the dictionary, finally brings on stage. And he's like this very like, formidable, like man. He's like kind of like, he's a bigger guy, stern, angry. And he's so like, he's sweating with rage for us. So embarrassed. And he just goes, embarrassment. I'm going to look up the word embarrassment because that's what I'm feeling. And he flips through and it takes him like kind of too long to find it. And he's like, again, I has to go back a couple pages and then forward one. And then finally he finds it. He goes, embarrassment, the state of being embarrassed. He picked the wrong word to look up. He should have looked up embarrassed.
Yes.
You know, but he looked up and he just goes, the state of being embarrassed. And it like...
Did everyone die?
No one really understood. I understood the irony of it and like how funny it was. Because I remember at the time, my best friend, Hala, her dad was our actual principal. He wasn't there for this. But I like was... kind of the comic, one of the comic reliefs of our group of friends.
Yes.
And Dr. Holly, who is our principal, was a really funny guy and like really loved the funny person. And we were always fighting to be like, does Dr. Holly like, am I his favorite friend of Laura's?
Yeah.
And I remember I told him the story of embarrassment, the state of being embarrassed. And he thought it was he has me tell it to this day.
It was the first time I performed comedy. When the guy said it, was he like,
I think
like
he then went and looked up embarrassed, you know? And he was I don't think anyone caught how funny except me, because I remember that was the first time I can look back and go, oh, I was like kind of thinking comedically of like, I'm going to tell that story because it's so, the stakes were so high.
Oh, yeah.
We were all so scared.
And the tangible dictionary, and like it was different through, back then.
And I saw it coming too, because when I go embarrassment, I was just like, I don't know if that's, or like, you know, but saying the state of being
the best.
And I remember just going, oh no, like the cringe of like, he's about to say embarrassed.
I remember a teacher, my Senor Hearn, he was our Spanish teacher, and he hated me, especially me and Rusty, because we were not good students. We were very like loud and just doing dumb things. Like we would. Weird things, like, I don't know, Rusty would, like, we might have to take this out, but he would get a boner in his pants and then, like, move his boner. He'd move his boner in his khakis.
Like, with just the might of his loins? Of his
penis, and I'd go, damn. And
okay.
That's the kind of things you were doing instead of learning Spanish words. Anyways, there was a rat in a sombrero, and he went to grab the sombrero off off. Like,
what do you mean there was a stuffed animal rat?
No, like a real rat somehow got into his sombrero. And when he pulled the sombrero...
What? Wait, why do you have a rat in a sombrero in your class? What is happening?
I don't know why it was in there. I don't know why.
Okay, there was a live rat in your classroom that had a sombrero
on. It might have been
on.
A squirrel. It might have been a squirrel.
Okay.
And it was... there was no reason for it to be in there. And he went to grab
the... Is this a dream you had?
Maybe Rusty never was hard.
Go
no,
on.
I'm telling you.
I mean, this doesn't make any
sense. We'll have to get Rusty on
this. This is more confusing than better.
So there's a squirrel embarrassment.
Love
there's
birds,
a, there's
better.
There's a squirrel, and he pulls it off. He goes, ay, coño, coño, which means fuck in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And we, like...
I mean...
When he...
Oh, the teacher said coño.
The teacher said coño, because the squirrel jumped at his head, or rat, whatever it was, something with four legs with a tail.
I can't believe the setup to this was Rusty gets boners that he can move. Why was there a rat wearing a sombrero? I mean, I thought you were insane to present that and not say a like, I had to talk us through it, be like, it was a stuffed animal rat
well, first
that was
of
on
all,
the top
I should
of
have
shelf.
Said he went to grab the sombrero and a fucking rat was in there. That's how he should have done it.
Oh, so yes, he was going to grab a sombrero that was on the top of the shelf and there was some kind of rodent that yes. had like made a nest in it.
Yes.
And it fell out and then your teacher goes...
Oh, coño.
Coño, coño. And did you guys know that meant fuck?
Yes, and we were dying.
Oh, like,
dude,
so exciting.
Fuck, dude.
When teachers are real.
Yeah, and he got scared. You never see a teacher scared, you know, because they're always in control.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, coño. Oh,
I remember a teacher saying fuck for the first time when he was like, I want to fuck you. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Oh, you said fuck.
With a sombrero on.
Yeah. It wasn't about anything else that he said. It was just like, whoa.
Really to the point.
Yeah. No, no teachers wanted to fuck me. I was not that cute.
You could always go back.
And I will. All right. Thank you guys listening. Thank you guys listening. Thank you guys.
And girls.
Listening. The act of hearing.
Yes.
Listening. Thank you for listening to the podcast all week long. And yes, we do have video up on our YouTube channel. Go find it at the link in our bio. Thank you for all the Fanthrax. Thank you all for coming to shows. We'll see you this weekend in St. Louis. And we'll be back on Monday with shows. And yeah, watch us on YouTube. Spread the word. Don't be care. And
Jack
Sombrero.